3 matchups with the Memphis Grizzlies this month for the Phoenix Suns, and unfortunately, this result was not as good as the last one. On today's episode of Locked On Suns, we'll break down another loss where the Suns just didn't have enough. Let's go.
Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past 6 seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you all for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Tuesday. Hope all of you had a nice long weekend. I hope all of you had Monday off. I hope all of you enjoyed the Suns game despite the loss. So a big thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen today and every day. Go ahead and follow or subscribe wherever you're finding us, including YouTube. If you are on YouTube, hit the bell down below as well. Get a notification when a new show goes up. Drop a comment maybe as well with your take on this Suns-Grizzlies game. We're going to talk about the injury stuff again. A quick, maybe not an update, maybe a little bit of a trend we're going to look at, but we have a game to talk about first and foremost. You can also follow along, guys, at Locked On PHX Suns, where soon on Twitter I will be going back to the 7 words or less game recaps. Once there's a little more to talk about with these games, I don't want to make you guys relive them too much, whether it's on Twitter or in your own head. So we haven't been doing that. We will, I promise. I'll have a giveaway later in the week, so you want to keep it here, is the bottom line. The Suns lost 136-106 in Memphis. Martin Luther King Day game. Very cool that the Suns have kind of been adopted as like the yearly annual opponent for this game against Memphis. Obviously, they do games in Memphis, in Atlanta, the NBA does, for this day, because those are the cities that King is most associated with. It's a cool tradition. Thanksgiving for the NFL, Christmas for the NBA. This is another one. The Suns get this one, it seems like, every year lately. I'm all for it. These teams tend to have some fun matchups. I thought the first half of this game was very competitive, very good. And so I actually want to start there. Start one quarter later in the third quarter and kind of compare it to the first half, all right? Because things went off the rails in the third quarter for this team. There's obviously no doubt about that, right? I mean, the score in that quarter, 39-23, it just got ugly. The Grizzlies attempted 8 free throw attempts. The Suns had 5 turnovers. Ja Morant had 12 points and 4 assists in the third quarter alone. 3 of those assists were on 3-point baskets for his teammates, so he contributed to 12, 9, 2, 23 points himself. And then on the other side, you have Mikal Bridges going 3 of 11 from the field in that quarter, and the Suns as a team going 1 of 6 from deep. When I lay it out like that, I'm sure you're not confused why it was so ugly in the scoreboard. But there's a catch here. There's a but here, all right? And the but is that I actually kind of, offensively, I was okay with what the Suns were doing, to be honest with you. I think we just watched a quarter in that third period where the Suns just run out of steam. And it's, and I don't even mean fatigue or energy. I really just mean juice, maybe, is the best way to do it. They just don't have enough offense, enough firepower to compete with good teams and, honestly, mediocre or bad teams on a lot of nights. I guess we'll see Charlotte next week. Maybe that'll be the real test of if they can compete with bad teams without their healthy players. Maybe they will be healthier by then. Who knows? But this just didn't, it wasn't going to be feasible for the Suns to keep up, all right? When you have, especially, you know, the one thing I will dock them for on this were the turnovers, okay? That you can't turn the ball over 5 times in one quarter against Memphis. I know that doesn't sound like a terrible, terrible amount, but I mean, that's puts you on pace for 20. 20 turnovers in a game is unsustainable for any winning team, and you couple that again with 1 of 6 from deep, And a lot of those, especially for a team like the Grizzlies, it's going to already be looking to push the pace at any opportunity that they can. A missed three with a long rebound may as well be a turnover because you're giving them that extra advantage down the court already, right? So if you, this is not a foolproof calculation by any means, but if you put those five missed threes in with the five turnovers, you're giving Memphis 10 chances to get into their bread and butter, which is transition offense, right? But the Suns matched Memphis's pace early when they were making shots. When the Suns were making shots, they had no trouble with transition defense or even scoring with a quick pace when Memphis tried to kind of push them into that. The Suns handled it. They returned the punches, right? And so I think it's, we know the Suns can handle that, right? And again, I just think they ran into a run. There's only so many runs they're going to be able to keep up with. And I think especially with the bench lineups, there's just not a lot of offense that the Suns are going to be able to create unless the threes are falling. And Josh Okogie went out with the nose injury. Actually, DeAndre Ayton's elbow caught him, which was bad luck. I mean, it sort of epitomizes the Sun season. I'm not saying Okogie would have been the difference, but they got a little bit thinner yet still. Monty went with Sabin Lee in this game to have the ball handling, the rim pressure, the defense against Ja, although that didn't go so well, over Dwayne Washington. So you don't have that as a shot creator offensively. He's been in a rut, and Monty just gave him a DNP tonight. I'm not gonna cry wolf on that one too badly. I don't really think it was the biggest problem that the team faced, but you add all that stuff up, plus the turnovers and missed threes, and Memphis is off to the races. So I guess I'm not letting the Suns off the hook fully. You can't turn the ball over like that. You should at least have something to fall back on offensively. But at the end of the day, we know what this is. We've been watching it, right? You can't just will offense. You can't just will buckets into existence. Otherwise, basketball would be a really easy sport. And so I just want to, anyone watching these games and feeling like it's been the same old since December 1st or whatever, it's not. It really isn't, guys. And I just want to make that differentiation, okay? And draw your attention to the fact that the Suns scored 65 points in this first quarter. So yes, with this loss, the Suns have a 25%, 0.250 winning percentage since December 1st. All right? Ugly. You can't make excuses for it. Bad. But there is a difference, and I really think it started in that Warriors game when they won in Steph's return against the fully healthy Warriors. You can feel that since then, they've played with energy, they've played with purpose, the vibes have been better, in my opinion, and they are just running up against teams, yeah, even Minnesota, guys, like even whatever you want to throw out there, the teams that they've played since, Denver, Minnesota, and now Memphis, those are good teams, those are playoff caliber teams, and they just don't have enough to stay in touch with them in the scoreboard, and at the end of the day, it's going to take one run in the second half, and that'll be it, and the Suns will lose. We've seen that. There's not any way to sugarcoat it, but it's also just the reality. You're not going to see a lot of wins for this Suns team against good offenses unless everything goes right. Want to talk about what these three games against Memphis over the course of a month have taught us. And some of it is, again, that they've been more competitive than we might have expected. They won the last one. They were neck and neck in the first half of this one. What can we learn? We'll talk about it next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by Rocket Money. We've been talking about Rocket Money for a long time here on the Locked On Podcast Network because we are all entertainment fans. We are all people who have subscriptions to this, that, and the other, and you lose track of them. We lose track of them. We know how you feel. And so say goodbye to last year's outdated, disorganized method of managing your money and say hello to Rocket Money, the better way to hack your finances here in 2023. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought to watch just one show on. or that free trial you never even use. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want, and Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times or tedious emailing. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money. You've seen their commercials on TV, saving the average user up to $720 per year of those unwanted charges on a monthly basis. Stop throwing your money away and cancel those unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. Talked about the third quarter, which was the inflection point in the game. Let's rewind from there. Again, I told you I was going to compare and contrast a little bit. The Suns have been competitive against the Grizzlies. In this game, in the first half, it was a three-point deficit at halftime. In the last game, I think the Suns were up double digits at halftime. Both those matchups, the game on the 27th of December and this one, the Suns scored 65 points in the first half. You've seen guys like Tyus Jones and Jaren Jackson be a little off in both of these games. Maybe you feel like the Suns are doing something against them. Maybe just random. The regular season always makes it hard to tell. And I think another good positive, though, is 18 combined rebounds against Steven Adams. So those were trends across both of these games that I was able to pull. A lot of the other stuff did fluctuate, and that's what I want to talk about. But that's, again, just to reiterate, the Suns can keep pace with this team, all right? December 23rd, which was the first of these matchups, the last one we haven't really talked about yet, 2 days before Christmas, the Friday before Christmas, that game showed what happens if the Suns don't make their threes and they let Memphis live at the line, right? That's the outlier. That one got very ugly. The Suns played right into the Grizzlies' hands. And cautionary tale, you cannot play that way and beat this team, even at home. We all saw it. But there's another but in this one, because it really is. Memphis is such a unique team because you know what they want to do and they do it to you anyway, right? And so I think that's why the Suns have been able to keep pace with them. But the butt is here, all right? Ja has been elite in both of these games, no matter how the Suns have guarded him. Now, I don't think they have quite the perimeter defense you would want in an optimized situation to contain somebody like Ja Morant. But then again, no one really does. He's a freak. He does things in terms of getting to the basket that just not a lot of players in the history of the NBA have done as consistently as he does at his size. So they have not been able to stop him. They've also gotten a little lucky making tough shots, okay? I think it's fair to say that. You saw Dwayne Washington Jr. get hot on the 27th of December. You saw Josh Okogie get a little hot from deep tonight. Those guys, I think, combined in the two games were 8 of 13 from deep. Not every day. I mean, Washington's a good shooter, but he's very streaky, as we know. Not every day you're going to get great shooting from guys like those two in a big game like this. And then even aside from three-point shooting, tonight in the first quarter, you had the Suns hitting shots from everywhere over Jaren Jackson. You had Dario Saric posting him up. You had, I think, Mikal Bridges hit a baseline jumper over Jaren Jackson. I think DeAndre Ayton hit a mid-range jumper over Jaren Jackson. Not sustainable. The dude had six blocks when it was all said and done. He is probably the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. Two steals tonight on top of the blocks. That's not something I'm going to point to and say, the Suns have figured something out. They can just make shots more than other teams when they're contested by Jaren Jackson. No way. It's not. The defense was good. The Suns just made tough ones. That's not something I'm going to say they'll do every night. Grizzlies only had 9 free throw attempts in the first half of this game as well in the first half. They averaged 26 per game. They had 20 on the night, so they evened it out a little bit with more in the second half even tonight. But again, I think the Grizzlies had 38 free throw attempts in the December 23rd matchup, which is the one I said was a little bit of an outlier where the Grizzlies just got whatever they wanted. So you see, they averaged 26. These Suns themselves have allowed them to get 38 up in a game. So to only get 9.5 starts to explain why the Suns were able to look competitive, right? So are they, right? That's the question. And so what I come back to is, again, that uniqueness of what Memphis is as a team. Not a great half-court offense, right? Not a great three-point shooting team. Those kind of go hand in hand. They don't have a reliable number two option who's going to be able to have the ball in his hands and create consistently night to night or even quarter to quarter. Desmond Bane got hot at the end of this game, but he was also just, he just made a bunch of his shots. It wasn't really like a, you know, outlier crazy Desmond Bane type of game. He just, he can do that. He's very good and he's very efficient. The Grizzlies don't quite have that. And they want to play fast. They want to turn you over. And they want to own the glass. And so it's sort of one of these things where if you match Memphis's physicality and you have discipline to your game plan, maybe not every team, but the Suns at least have shown they can compete with this team. They really, they can. But the problem is, based on the fact that the Grizzlies have a chance at a top two seed in the West again for the second straight season, despite being very young, is it's hard to do that every night against this team. And it's, as we see more of them in the playoffs, I think we're going to learn, it's going to be harder and harder to do that for seven straight games when Memphis is also able to game plan and set the tone from an intensity standpoint. And Jaws, you know, there's no better guy in the league to do it than him from the intensity and physicality standpoint and the you're not going to be able to guard me standpoint. And last but not least, the Grizzlies are deeper than just about everyone in the NBA. So I think when you look at the fact that the Suns are a pretty veteran team, all things considered, they've been together a while, they have a pretty good coach, and they have familiarity based on the fact that both of these teams have been around in their same iterations for a while now. I don't imagine a lot of games when the Suns are at full health where Memphis just runs them off the court. If we're looking toward a potential playoff series, I don't feel like it's just roll, you know, wrap it up, cut, quit, go home. It's over, pack it all up. The Grizzlies are better. But I do wonder if this version of the Suns has that intensity and discipline and everything else to really match the Grizzlies. We can talk about how the Grizzlies don't have a number two. Right now, the Suns don't either. And so, you know, would you take Desmond Bane over anyone else on this Suns roster? I might. And you're just, you're inevitably going to run up against that. It's something we've been talking about all season. The Suns just against the best teams. That ultimate question of, where else are you getting offense is gonna play a factor, and we don't have an answer to it yet. So good news is that the Suns have some answers against this team. Bad news is I don't think they have enough. One guy that when we talk about getting healthy, talk about projecting for the future, that I'm not so optimistic about based on some of the warning signs we've seen is Cameron Payne. We'll talk about his injury and the latest updates on him next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you as well by Bet Online, your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis all year long. We have the pro football playoffs continuing every single weekend. I love the new setup where there are games just as many in weekend number two as there are in weekend number one. You don't narrow it down until the conference or the conference finals is not what it's called, conference championship. So those games are still going. You can bet on those. You can get in on the fun there. You can get the latest analysis, even podcasts that you need to make informed bets on all of that action. You can bet championship odds, I think, still on Bet Online. Game odds, the Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites. Eagles, 7.5-point favorites. Bills, 5-point favorites. The Eagles line feels pretty tasty. All of that on BetOnline. Head to the website today. That's betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Cameron Payne is in a boot, or was at least during practice, according to Dwayne Rankin of AZ Central. He told Dwayne in an article that Dwayne published this week that Payne said, quote, "I haven't started doing anything I think tomorrow when I get back into Phoenix, we should be doing our next checkups and check off a few things for me to get back on the court. That is worrisome. Not only being in the boot, which you could read as he doesn't need to be doing anything, so he's just taking that opportunity to rest. They're on a road trip. Maybe you could, you know, find a way to not have it be so doom and gloom. But then to say, I haven't started doing anything, and he's not even going to worry about, well, they'll be back in Phoenix tomorrow, but not even going to worry about any of that until the medical team clears him to even get back on the court. You have to remember, his evaluation was set for January 21st at the earliest. That's just when they said 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks from the day they said it. That's 5 days from now. So you could say goodbye to the next two games of this homestand, which, okay, we expected that. But do we really think, I mean, I don't remember when the next game exactly is after that one. I think it's on Monday, next Monday, the 23rd. And, I mean, are we really thinking, no, it's on Sunday against these Grizzlies again. Are we really feeling like Campaign is going to be back a week from now if he hasn't even been, less than a week from now, if he hasn't even been practicing, if he had a boot on? I don't think so. And so when you really think about what that means, I feel like you got to look a little backwards and it's a little confusing what's been going on with him. So I wanted to look back because anytime you hear foot, no matter if people always say big men with lower body injuries with foot or ankle or anything like that is worrisome. I kind of think any basketball player, I mean, any athlete really, but especially basketball with how much change of direction and leaping has to happen and, you know, center of gravity exchange, all that stuff, foot is not good, right? But what's weird is he's had problems with both of his feet. Starting on November 3rd, he had a left foot issue. He popped up on the injury report suddenly. We didn't necessarily know. There wasn't a moment where we really saw him leave a game and then all of a sudden he misses the next one. It was like, okay, Campaign's hurt now, okay? November 3rd, he missed two games after that and he was off the injury report by November 8th. So it really only lasted a week. Then he was pretty good when Chris Paul was out. He basically came back as soon as Paul left the lineup in early November. And then December 13th, the right foot problems started, okay? And that one we did know. You could see it in the replay. You could see it in real time that he went down ugly and grimaced and left the game and everything. And he's been out basically ever since. He was able to get through a game and a half before he was sidelined again. He was in that Knicks game, played about 17, 18 minutes. And then the Cavs game when he left again was about 8 minutes before he got hurt. And again, we're looking at 2 weeks, quote unquote. It's not going to be 2 weeks. It's, I mean, three at the least. You know, you can go through the schedule from that point, and you like to bring guys back at home, so maybe they could try to get him back on the court by January 26th against Dallas. Would be the last game of this homestand. Then there's the 30th against Toronto is when they're back at home. Maybe that's the target. That's 2 weeks from today. That feels right. If you'll excuse my cough there. I don't know, though, if we should have an expectation that we're getting the best version of Cam Johnson on this Suns team anytime soon. I don't know if it's overcompensation is what caused the left foot injury to become a right foot injury. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to guess or speculate on any of that. But having injury issues on two separate feet during a season and missing what is now, you know, looking like 7 or so combined weeks, maybe 8, that's 2 months with separate foot issues. I mean, he's a guy who the Suns look to attack the paint, to finish at the basket, to push the pace and you know, kick the game into a new gear. You need to be at peak physical health to do that. And a lower body injury that's lingered and happened on both sides of your body, I think it's cause for concern. And so reading what Dwayne put in there in that article this week just kind of raised my eyebrows and started to worry. Again, we don't know a lot. The Suns keep things close to their chest, and we don't know. But you just read those tea leaves, and it starts to, you do that math, right? Anytime you're doing the schedule math and counting games and looking at when they're home and when they're not and whatever, you know it's not something that's super good. We'll see. I think Shamit and Lee have been good without, but this team's going to need everything they can if they're going to make that push in the second half of the season. So they're going to need Payne. He's part of that list too. You just got to look through the end of January. If they can get everybody back by then you breathe a sigh of relief and you start to make that push. Any problems or bumps along the way is just that much more of a hole you're digging yourself. You know that. I know that. We'll see how it goes. That'll do it for today's show, folks. Aaron Edwards will finally be back tomorrow. He missed last week with holiday errands, I guess. He was a DNP with that. So we will talk about Cam Johnson's return, which I think will happen on Thursday. So hit subscribe or follow. Get this show in your feed every single day this week and beyond. And in the meantime, go make Locked On Sports Today your second listen to get caught up on all things sports, football, baseball, all of it. That show's available on all podcast platforms, so check it out wherever you listen, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.